The ideal candidate needs a life expectancy of over 10 years, histologically confined local recurrence, no detectable metastatic disease, and accepts the risk of side effects. So one may ask, well, should we be doing anything with this patient if that's the case? Because this guy ain't all that likely to die of his disease. We looked at 27 of the 30 patients received salvage cryotherapy based on the prostate biopsy and the prostatin scan. We had a durable response, now out to almost 2 years, 67%. So salvage cryotherapy, this is recent data, and it has to be realized, cryotherapy has been modified and has changed dramatically in the last 5 years, particularly in the last 3 years. This is Han et al. In low-risk patients, 87% nadir down to less than 0.4 nanograms per mil. It's now out to 3-year data. High risk, 71%. Impotence is a given. In the new era, and this is the new era, urethral slough, not seen often. Obstruction, rare. Stricture, zero. Fistulas are a thing of the past. Rectal injury, 0 to 3%, faced with surgical rates of 15 to 5%. This is the 3-year biochemical disease-free survival as published using the third generation of cryotherapy. You're up to 70 to 80% disease-free survival, admittedly short-term data, hasn't been around for that long. It's only a couple of years old. What about salvage surgery? Ward et al. Published an excellent article, 299 men, all radiation failures, biopsy positive, 11 brachy, one patient brachy and external beam. Only 131 patients could undergo radical prostatectomy. 68 patients required a radical cystoprostatectomy. Side effects, rectal injury, urinary extravasation 15%, urinary incontinence 44%. Post-brachy patients had worse incontinence. Cancer-specific survival was 65% overall. You did significantly better if you had a radical prostatectomy versus a radical cystoprostatectomy. So I put it to you that today, if you're considering a salvage therapy, and most of us are surgeons here, this is the one area that I would say, I do not think surgery has a major role to play. I think it's fraught with problems, it's fraught with risks, and I think we have a very acceptable therapy, local therapy. The problem is to decide who is going to be the best patient to receive that local therapy, and that's where most of our difficulty lies.
Have you, or are you planning to go back and look at your data in relation to the PSA doubling times?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know...
Because it may well be that the guys that did well because they had slow doubling times.
Absolutely.
And nothing to do with what you did to the cryo.
I am not standing here presenting this as the be-all and the end-all. As you know, I've said this before, we're looking for something to improve our ability to recognize these patients. And it certainly would appear that when you look at what's out there, prostatin in the situation of radiation failure, our PSA recurrence after prostatectomy may have a role to play. I'm not sure about it anywhere else, but we're going to see. It's certainly better than a bone scan, an MRI scan, or a CT scan at the present time. That's all I'm saying.
Did any of these patients get hormonal therapy?
No. Actually, on looking at our patients following radical prostatectomy, I didn't give you that data. We've got about 100 of those. We've 700 patients we're trying to work our way through. But I've got the first 100 done. Yes, the high-risk patients, that's the problem. They get combined radiation plus hormones as their salvage. So we're never really sure how does one work versus the other. What you'd really like is a neat group of patients who just got radiation. And this group here that I just presented, none of those patients got hormones. They were all straight cryo.
And the median PSA at the time of your cryo?
The median PSA has to be over 5 before we'll touch them.